Just as God commanded his son to be born through humble means, he often works through small, unexpected ways to fulfill his promises to us. That's what your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will learn in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, O Bethlehem. This arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 5 through 9. O Bethlehem is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Bethlehem.
I don't so much have a sermon title for this occasion as I have an announcement. So I need you to turn to your neighbor and make the announcement for me, because I can't get around the whole church. I wish I could. But at every location, turn to your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, in 2015, you're going to find your flow. Yeah, that's the announcement. How you like that? That's what God brought you here to tell you. In 2015.
That's Stephen Furtick of Elevation Church preaching at a New Year's Eve service earlier this year. What if your pastor did this? What if he said, here's my prediction. Not just, this isn't just a prediction, some guy saying, I think this might happen. I hope this might happen. But this, as Stephen Furtick said, this is why God brought you here to tell you. This is what God wants you to know. And I'm telling you, God wants you to know that in 2015, you're going to find your flow. I don't know what that means. I do not know what that means, but I'm sure that they had to explain it at some point. Did it come to pass? What if your pastor gave you a word and said, this is a word from God. It's a prediction for 2016. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be doing This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We'll talk about New Year's prophecies a little bit later, but first we'll get to the story about Mark Driscoll's, well, a rather short absence from the ministry after being forced to resign as minister of Mars Hill in Seattle, a big, very influential megachurch, for a number of reasons. He has suddenly come back to the ministry. And it's odd, the ministry is being described as a recently incorporated church, Bible-based Christian church without members. I imagine that Driscoll might find that somewhat convenient, because it turned out the members were the trouble in the end. And then a little bit later, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play our 4 soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio. You'll call, you'll send us an email, a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. And the best vote will get the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad. Our call in number 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-MYIE. Send us that email, talkback@issuesetc.org, that tweet @issuesetc, and the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
All right. So Mark Driscoll, barely more than a year, I think, if we're being accurate here, out of the ministry. Just review a little history. Why was he out? And then your thoughts on him coming back in.
Well, Mark Driscoll was the vision casting leader, actually the pastor of Vision, at Mars Hill Church in Seattle, Washington, and it was a multi-site. And there was a series of kind of scandals that kept breaking one after another. Things began to unravel for him when it was learned that many of the books that he had written, which were in fact actually ghostwritten, that there was blatant plagiarism in them. And then it was learned that he had used church funds to purchase his way onto the New York Times bestseller list. So that he can be, said of him that he's a New York Times bestselling author. And just a series of scandals like that, which ultimately led up to his Board of Accountability advisors and the elders of Mars Hill Church recommending that Mark in some way be disciplined And Mark claims, and I wish I were making this up, but he claims that he received a direct revelation from God telling him that the discipline plan that his elders had put into place was in fact a trap, and that they weren't acting in honestly. And supposedly God told Mark Driscoll that he was releasing him from ministry. And so Mark has, you know, rather than be disciplined and restored, he just claims a direct revelation from God, bowed out of being the lead pastor at Mars Hill, and got off the radar, and has been really kind of off the radar for about 14 months, about that. And now it has come to light that a new entity has been formed in the Phoenix area called the Trinity Church, which we'll talk about in a second here. But that's kind of the rough overview of what happened there.
You were quite frank, and both here and elsewhere, that as we talked about this when this story was unfolding before, that Mark Driscoll had genuinely disqualified himself from serving as a pastor in Christ Church. Make that case.
Well, the idea is that Scripture clearly teaches that a pastor is one who is to be above reproach. And by his blatant plagiarism and stealing of other people's material and claiming it as his own, I mean, that's a form of theft. It's intellectual property theft, but it's still a form of theft. And even by Driscoll's own standard that he wrote about, you know, in one of his earlier books, somebody who is a pastor who engages in plagiarism is not qualified to be a pastor. And I would agree. And then when it came to light that he had purchased his way in order, you know, onto the New York Times bestseller list and gamed the system, and we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars being spent in order for that to take place. That was church funds. These, you know, people sent that in on their tithes to Mars Hill Church. You know, he clearly was disqualified from being a pastor. He was no longer above reproach, and he has not submitted. And then this is absolutely true. He has not submitted himself to any form of ecclesiastical accountability. There is no church body that has examined Mark, worked with Mark, and in the hopes of restoring him to ministry, anything of the sort. He has refused to submit to any kind of accountability, and is now poised to reemerge on the scene as the pastor of a new entity without ever being formally disciplined or restored to office. In fact, all of the baggage that was there when he left the pastoral office at Mars Hill in Seattle, it's all currently still there. It just has never been unpacked, and so he's going to bring all of that baggage with him, which, again, further proves that he is not qualified under any of the biblical qualifications to be a pastor, and for his own soul's sake, he should not pursue, being in the pastoral office, because he's going to do great damage to himself as well as others.
Okay, this is just weird, the way this thing is being described. You mentioned the new ministry that he is starting. It's described as an incorporated church that will be Bible-based without members. What in the world is that? I thought it was a typo.
No, that's not a typo, and you got to be careful here, because there's kind of two ways to skin that cat, and that is that the type of corporation that is being set up is one where there is not membership. The different people have membership as far as ownership. It's a nonprofit organization, but it begs the question: will there actually be membership in any kind of a congregational oversight? That we would understand as Lutherans, where, you know, members of the congregation actually have a say in who their pastor is and have a say in how the congregation is run. For all intents and purposes, I've actually read the Articles of Incorporation. I mean, this entity that has been set up by Driscoll and two others, the best way I can describe it is, it's a corporate entity. But to say it's a church, I think is absolutely a stretch, because there's nothing about this that would say that this is actually a church. This is a corporate entity that Driscoll is one of the directors of, and it's clear down the line he's going to take on the title of teaching pastor or something like that. But in reality, he's not a pastor in this entity. He is one of the corporate officers, and that is something that I think is worth kind of talking about, is what is it that makes somebody a pastor? And Driscoll hasn't received a call. All he's done is legally set up a business entity, a corporation, and he's one of the decision makers, and there's no members that can actually tell him what he can or cannot do. It's just basically all decisions how the corporation is going to be run are going to be made between the three principals in the corporation as it stands.
Well, I mean, you mentioned there, and you're really opening a can of worms here, because there are an awful lot of guys who just go out and start churches. They just go out and start doing it. They're never called to do it. They just decide to do it. Some of them are very successful, and some of them, never amount to anything. But why do you emphasize the fact that Driscoll has no call to do this?
Well, the reason why is because those who are in the pastoral office, you have to understand that it's Christ's church, it's not our church, and that Christ himself, being God, has established offices within the church. And one of the offices is the office of pastor. And that is an office that, according to Scripture, very clearly, that God the Holy Spirit calls men into the pastoral ministry and calls them to fill that office. And Driscoll has not actually received a call to be a pastor of a congregation. There's no committee of a congregation, a call committee that has been formed that has considered different candidates and then has extended a call to Mark Driscoll to come and be their pastor. That hasn't taken place at all. And so the question is this man even called to ministry? Is a valid question at this point, because there is no church body that has examined him. There is theologically, there is no church body that has looked over his character and his life and his career to see if morally he meets the qualifications to be a pastor. There is no church body that's put their stamp of approval on him or has ordained him in any sense of the word. I mean, once he stepped down from Mars Hill, he no longer holds the pastoral office. So for him to just start a corporate entity, call it the Trinity Church, is not the same thing as actually receiving a call to pastor a church. So there's a big problem here, and that is that he's not been called or ordained. It really looks like he's jumping the fence and setting up something that will mimic a church, but actually wouldn't be one.
With only 15 seconds, is there any doubt in your mind? Of course, we could all be wrong, but is there any doubt in your mind that in time he will emerge as pastor of this entity? He'll call himself pastor of this entity.
No doubt in my mind. No, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that Mark Driscoll, probably early in 2016, it'll be once again Pastor Mark Driscoll. But we'll have to put the word pastor in quotes, because he hasn't actually received a call or been ordained to serve a congregation in Christ's church anywhere.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. When we come back, we're going to get some New Year's prophecies being made in Pop American Christianity. We heard a little bit of it a few minutes ago from Stephen Furtick saying, this year, he was talking back in January 2015, this year you're going to find your flow. What if your pastor were to say, I have a prediction for 2016, and spread it around the congregation? We'll answer that question with Pastor Chris Roseborough, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity.
Christ Jesus, the image of the invisible God. For unto us a child is born. The titles of Christ, Good News of Great Joy, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christ-focused themes offered by Ad Crucem this Christmas. Shop adcrucem.com for greeting cards, gifts, housewares, ornaments, music, and much, much more. Available from adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through word and art. Adcrucem.com, ADCRUCEM.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
If you could depict this with a nativity scene, there would be no baby Jesus. Mary was not pregnant with potential. Mary was pregnant with the God who spoke the universe into existence.
If it's all about happy, clappy, you know, Jesus is my best friend, we're all going to heaven, those folks are not going to make it.
We know where the church is at based off where preaching happens and where the sacraments are. So Lutheran Missions, it sets out to plant a church.
Baptize and then teach, says Jesus. But for the evangelical, the verse is simply, go and make disciples of all nations. I mean, that's it.
Just a taste of the sound bites we're going to be playing for you in about 20 minutes here on Issues Etc. When we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, we'll play those sound bites. You give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, and you vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Chris, turning to this, these New Year's prophecies, is it now a trend? You follow these trends. Is it now a trend in pop American Christianity for pastors to kind of set out a word of the Lord for the coming year by way of either prediction or some kind of special vision or revelation they've received from God?
Yes, and in fact, this is a growing trend, one that I've been watching grow over the past few years. And it's becoming more and more popular, especially in kind of the seeker-driven big box churches where you have a vision casting leader who supposedly has received a direct vision from God for the congregation. So this is part of, if you would, kind of the ongoing creation, if you would, false creation of the perception that the vision casting leader is truly in touch with the Lord. I mean, that's one of the basics of the whole ecclesiastical model set up in evangelicalism in these big box churches, is that you have a man who has received a specific vision from God. He's cast it to his leadership team. The leadership team casts it to the congregation, and everybody needs to get behind the vision and unite behind the visionary. Well, one of the ways in which you kind of continue to create the perception that the visionary is somebody who's truly in touch with God is at the end of the year, on New Year's Eve, or very early in the beginning of the year, the visionary leader announces the direct vision that he's received from God and the word, singular, kind of the singular word or concept that the Lord wants that specific big box church to unite around for the next 12 months. And it's a fascinating trend, and like I said, it is growing by leaps and bounds, and more vision casting leaders are employing this concept in order to create the perception that they're truly in touch with the Holy Spirit and are receiving direct communications from Him.
So one level, this is simply let's just call it psychological manipulation. The guy's already claimed that he's hearing from God. He must hear from God in order to perpetuate that claim. And then, of course, if he thinks he's hearing from God, how can he resist the opportunity of a new year? It's kind of that thing going on.
Right, exactly. And so what you'll find is that, you know, in years past, many of the people who claimed direct revelation from God, they would make grand, sweeping, prophetic claims that sounded more like what you would get from the psychics, you know, in the National Enquirer every year. This is the year that there's going to be a big shaking, you know, some terrible, and those always don't pan out. And so the vision casting leaders have kind of learned from the errors of those who make such specific claims, and instead they create the perception they're hearing from God while really not saying much at all, you know. And we have two examples of that we're going to be listening to. The first comes to us from Elevate Life Church in Frisco, Texas, and the vision casting leader is the guy who used to be on that the power team. You know, he'd tear telephone books in half and stuff like that. Big muscle guy. His name is Keith Kraft, and we're going to be listening to the word that supposedly the Lord gave to him at the beginning of 2015, and him explaining to his congregation in their first service of this year. You know, what that word is supposedly, what it means and what it means for them.
It's an honor to have you with us today. And in case you weren't here December 31st, we announced that our word for 2015 is empower. That God is going to empower us in a way like we've never known. And I'm going to break that down over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about that and what that means. But just right out of the gate, let me just give you the definition for empower. It means divine enablement to achieve your divine destiny. You see, we're not going to get the power. We've already got the power. God's just going to enable us to take the power He's already given us so that what He wants to happen in 2015 is going to happen in Jesus' name. Today we brought out the big pulpit because God's going to do big things this year. Come on. He's going to do big things this year.
Chris, I noticed a word there that is becoming more and more frequent in our conversations about Pop American Christianity, destiny.
Yes. The message of evangelicalism has completely changed. It is no longer a message of sinners in need of the forgiveness of sins won by Christ and His crucifixion for us on the cross. Instead, the gospel that they're proclaiming is the gospel that God has a specific destiny that He intends for you to, first of all, discover and hear from Him about, and then ultimately He's going to give you the ability to fulfill. So it's not about about being forgiven and having eternal life. It's about having revealed to you the secret information of what your specific destiny is and then learning what steps are necessary in order for you to fulfill your destiny. And there are so many churches that are now teaching this that it absolutely saddens me how many hundreds of thousands of people think that that's really what the Christian message is. And Keith Kraft is one of these guys who perpetuates that false doctrine.
Okay, so what he said there is the word from God is empower. He's going to unpack it a little bit later. And he says, we already have the power. We're just going to be enabled to put it to use to fulfill our destiny. What's he talking about?
Yeah, that's a good question, because when he said that, empower is somehow the definition has something to do with divine something or other. I mean, I don't know what dictionary he was reading from, but I mean, dictionary.com, empower means to enable or to permit. It has nothing to do with divine destinies or God giving you anything. And so, I mean, it's just weird, but you'll notice it's specific enough to create the impression that, hey, God's really going to make some progress towards me achieving my destiny in the year 2015. And it's vague enough that you can't actually pin him at the end of the year and say you're a false prophet, because he never really specifically said what it is that God was going to empower you to do or what that looks like. And so, you know, it's kind of like the promise of electricity. Do with it as you want, but God's promising electricity. So everybody plug in, you know. That's kind of the idea here. And you know, you'll notice that the people were clapping and applauding, like, oh, this is an incredible thing. This is our word from God. And right after Christmas, as we get ready to go into the new year, 2016, he's going to have another New Year's Eve service. And, in fact, somebody will be live tweeting on Keith Kraft's Twitter account when they in the build-up to revealing what their word is for 2016. So 2015, it was empower. Who knows what God's going to tell them the 2016 word is. But, there's nothing in Scripture at all that would lead us to believe that God the Holy Spirit is going to give a specific and unique word at the beginning of every calendar year to a congregation, they, you know, in order for them to, you know, make progress in fulfilling their destiny. This is the kind of stuff that takes our eyes off of Christ and true sound biblical doctrine and puts our eyes clearly on ourselves, trying to figure out what our destiny is and then, you know, applying ourselves to fulfill it, whatever that means. But that's not Christianity.
What's the next example?
Next example comes to us from Stephen Furtick from Elevate Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. And this is from his New Year's Eve service, which was on December 31st, 2014, as they're going into 2015. And he, too, has received a specific word that God has laid on his heart, and he claims that it's actually coming from a passage in the book of Genesis, and we'll let him explain.
I want to preach to you now, if that'd be okay. You're stuck here until next year. You may as well give your attention to the Word of God. I want to share with you a scripture that I've been holding on to for several months, something that's been so exciting in me. I've been exploding internally since the last time I saw you on Christmas Eve. And I want to share with you a word. Last year's New Year's Eve sermon stayed on my mirror. The scripture that the Lord gave me stayed on my mirror all year until today. And what God put in my heart for us, I believe it'll carry through the whole year. I believe it will. And I believe it'll set a great direction for your attitude in this coming year. But I covered up the old scriptures with the new ones, because this is something that, well, on the surface, you might not see it. But if you give me a few minutes to work it out, I want to preach to you from Genesis 26. I'll read a couple verses for you, but I have one particular thought that I want to drill down on tonight. Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 through 18. I'm going to read it without context, and then I'll backfill the context in a moment. The scripture says that Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord had blessed him. Verse 18 is my focal point. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. I don't so much have a sermon title for this occasion as I have an announcement. So I need you to turn to your neighbor and make the announcement for me, because I can't get around the whole church. I wish I could. But at every location, turn to your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, in 2015, you're going to find your flow. Yeah, that's the announcement. How you like that? That's what God brought you here to tell you. In 2015... Now find 14 other people and tell them you're going to find your flow. You're going to find your flow. Come on, tell them you're going to find your flow. You're going to find your flow. You're going to find your flow. This year. Come on, we're flowing into 15. 2015 is the year of flow.
Chris, what did we just hear?
I have no idea. That's the weird part about it. It's like, okay, so I go to church, and the word, the message that God wants me to hear is that in 2015 I'm going to find my flow. What does the sentence even mean? I don't know. I mean, it's just absolutely bizarre. And you'll notice at the beginning of that soundbite, he says very clearly that the Lord laid this message on his heart, And he apparently found this message in reading the story of how Isaac unstopped the wells that had been, you know, buried. So since the water started flowing in those wells, apparently means that 2015 is the year of flow. But this is utter nonsense. These people have been basically handed, a mess of beans and told that this is a very expensive banquet that they're receiving. But this is nonsense. This isn't a word from God. This is just the ravings of some very manipulative man who has very good public speaking skills. But I mean, if God wanted me to know that 2015 was the year of flow, he actually would have written that in his the Bible. One of the apostles or prophets would have told us that. But, I don't know what this stuff is or why people get worked up thinking this is an amazing thing that God has somehow given us a great word. But you ask them what that means, I mean, like you and me, they probably couldn't tell you what any of that means.
To me, it's just like you're going to get your groove back or your mojo back, which means nothing either.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you think of the movie with the John Belushi in it, the Blues Brothers. We're on a mission from God. We're getting the band back together. At least in that movie, they had a very specific thing that they believed that God was wanting them to do. After leaving a church service like, we just heard, where God says you're going to get, it's the year of flow, I'd leave there going, what's my next step? How do I bring about this flow? What are the basic passages to go to learn the importance of flow and how to get it flowing? I don't know. I mean, he just basically said nothing. And it's sad. Everyone thought that was the greatest thing ever, but he didn't say anything.
Well, with only a minute here, Chris, it's pretty rock solid certainty that at the end, Stephen Furtick will be able to return to his congregation and say, "Hey, did you get your flow back?" And they will all say yes, because he just kind of wrote them a blank check, and they're filling it in.
Exactly. Right. Flow means whatever you want it to mean, And I just feel bad for the person who, in the year 2015, things didn't work out so well for them. I mean, life being what life is, because we're under the curse because of sin, there's a whole group of people who they are not, they had a tough year. They may have lost a spouse, had a divorce, a child got sick, I mean, deathly ill, maybe died. They had, maybe their mother or father was in a car accident, somebody had cancer and died. And at the end of the year, they're going to look back at 2015 and feel like it was an absolutely terrible year. But at the beginning of the year, they were assured that this is the year that they get their flow back. And after circumstances like that, they may think, if that's what God thinks is flow, then I don't want to have anything to do with God. But the reality is that what Stephen told them has nothing whatsoever to do with anything that God has told us to teach as pastors. So, yeah, it's a complete setup that will ultimately lead to some people completely walking away from Christianity and saying it's just a sham.
What's on the docket for Fighting for the Faith tonight?
Today we've got just kind of a potpourri of strange things that we're going to be listening to from Amanda Wells, from National Public Radio, from Stephen Furtick and Creflo Dollar, and then we're going to end off with a good sermon.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. That's Chris Roseborough, is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, if you appreciate our weekly segments with Chris Roseborough on This Week in Pop American Christianity, I know so many of you do, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible contribution to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. No gift is too small. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc. and send it to Issues, Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues, Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. When we come back, it's time for issues, etc. soundbite of the week. We're going to be playing four soundbites for you, and you're going to give us a call and vote. Send us an email and vote. Send us a tweet and vote, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote for it as well. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesztc.org, our Twitter address at issuesztc, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week is next.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Thank you for donating more than $80,000 to Issues Etc. in the past 3 weeks. With 2 weeks left in 2015, we're $16,000 short of expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue, by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.